When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to our podcast. On today's episode, we conclude our interview with Sean Shutt, who tells you more about the disgusting trend of human trafficking and how you can become involved with his organization, Underground Railroad, Inc. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless you.
It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you.
Thank you.
To contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Or if you don't know Christ or need prayer, please call 507-369-6861. Thank you.
And now for part two of our interview with Sean Schutt.
One thing I was really interested about, I imagine when these people come out, they're almost programmed like you would be in a cult. How are they deprogrammed? What do they have to go through? What are some stages?
It's going to look different for the victims depending on what they were experiencing. There's never going to be a cookie cutter method of ever working with a victim.
Okay.
Everyone's experiences are going to be different. But one of the ways that I found it easiest to help people understand how traffickers can take advantage of a victim and then what kind of work might need to be done to help that victim once they're out is, it sounds like a funny question, but I will ask my audiences, how many of you have a friend in your friend group or have had a conversation with your friend that one of you knew who you could trust in that friend group to help you with the body if you needed to get rid of it? We're not going to justify every murderer, because hopefully all of us agree that murdering somebody is bad and you should never do that. But if it's our friend, we'll start to make the justifications for them, because we know our friends. They're a good person. There had to have been a reason why they did this. That is why I say that it's easier for traffickers to exploit people that they know that no one care about them. Because if that trafficker can get the victim to care about them, that victim will start to make the justifications for their trafficker. So when we are working with trafficking victims, it's helping them understand that what you experienced is an exploitation. They needed you to believe that they had your best interests at heart. They needed you to believe that they were a good person. Because if you didn't think they were a good person, you wouldn't have followed through with some of the stuff they were asking you to do. When we're working with victims, it's also important to recognize that their journeys on healing are going to look different. So some people might recognize that very early and say, oh yeah, no, this person is definitely exploiting me. And their healing journey goes a little bit more smoothly, or how we would hope that it would go, right? You've got them out of trafficking, they are now in the emergency shelter, then they go into the housing, then they get them to finding housing, they find another job, and they never go back to trafficking. That is the ideal situation, and that is what we are hoping for. That is not the case for many trafficking victims. Because yes, we can provide them with all of the supports and services available to them, but if they don't recognize themselves as a victim, or the community is not a community that is going to be able to support them in the way they need, it is very easy for me to understand how they would end up back in trafficking and back to their trafficker.
I was wondering, you know how when you're going through grief, you've just lost someone, how certain songs may trigger things, or even certain smells or different things. I was wondering, when a person gets out of human trafficking, is it like that as far as certain things trigger that and they have to adjust to different things again?
So one of the big things that I make sure that healthcare workers, specifically when I'm working with them, they understand that if they're working with somebody who is a victim of trauma, that what that victim has experienced may end up having a trigger from the work that you're doing. For example, if I was a nurse and I was going into a patient's room and I'm saying, okay, here's the gown, please take your clothes off and change into this. Well, that act of me asking them to take their clothes off could be a trigger for them because of what they've experienced. Maybe I wore a cologne that day while I was working and that person who did harm to them had cologne that smelled very similar. That would be a trigger for them. The room that you're in may have a flickering light, and that flickering light is at the same cadence that the flickering light in the room that they were consistently abused in had. So that could be a trigger for them. So when we work with victims, it's very important for us to remain trauma-focused and trauma-centered and victim-centered, because if we are missing the triggering on the trauma responses that our victims are having when we work with them, we are missing an opportunity to provide them with the adequate care that they need.
Well, can you tell people how they can get involved with the Underground Railroad specifically, how they can donate, what else they might be able to do?
If someone is looking to donate to the Underground Railroad, you can go to our website. It's undergroundrailroadinc.org, and you can do donations there. If you're looking to get more involved with what Underground Railroad has going on, feel free to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Underground Railroad, Inc. And also, if you are located in the Tri-City area in Michigan, we do a lot of community events and are constantly going up things as well. So if you want to get more involved that way, check us out on Facebook and Instagram to find out when we got events going on.
I was wondering if you could tell us some of the responses of the victims and families.
One of the biggest things that I would let someone know, especially if it's a family member, if you have a family member who was their dating partner, and they were the ones who ended up putting them into trafficking, understand that your child or family member does not like experiencing human trafficking. If they felt like they could leave that person, they would. But there are plenty of barriers that trafficker is putting in place to make sure that they don't lose their hold on that victim. And as a family member, your biggest thing to do for that person, if you still have contact with them or know where they are, is to let that person know that you will be there to help, love, and support them regardless. Because by having that support system, you are giving that person something that they can then use to possibly be able to get out of that one day.
What do you think about support groups for human trafficking or, again, the families of the person who has been taken out of that family?
I would recommend checking out in your communities to see if there are any support groups present, because often there will be support groups for those who have experienced trafficking in the past, but also there may be support groups for secondary survivors or those who have had somebody who's experienced human trafficking or domestic violence. And those support groups are amazing. It gives victims and it gives those who know victims the opportunity to talk to other people who have gone through something kind of similar, be able to find that support in their community that they may not have had otherwise.
I just wanted to say thank you again, Sean, but lastly, are there any things that may be red flags that people should look out for concerning human trafficking?
What I will say is that it is very difficult for a general community member to recognize human trafficking, in part because you may, if you recognize anything, possibly say this person is a domestic violence victim, or they're experiencing domestic violence, you might recognize that. Or if you have areas in your community where you know no prostitution takes place, recognizing that that is an area where you're going to see trafficking victims, because those who are being forced into sex work are trafficking victims. But what I would say is some of the bigger red flags to recognize is, especially in kids, if you have been having a noticeably older dating partner, if they have a sudden change in kind of like what their clothing looks like their style changes completely, they all of a sudden have new possessions that they didn't have before that are pretty expensive. If the kid used to be like a very outgoing and loud child and now they're very submissive or kind of pulled within themselves, or the friendships that they've had with others are all of a sudden gone now. If you have those changes, if you notice the kid is obsessively clean or has an obsessive cleanliness, could mean that they're trying to make sure that they're constantly clean, just trying to get that dirty feeling off of them, or if they have a complete disregard for their cleanliness. So they don't like bathing, they don't like showering, they don't like wearing deodorant things because they believe that the dirtier they are, the less likely someone is to want them or purchase them.
Again, we really appreciate you coming on, and thank you very much.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.